All right, guys, welcome back to the podcast. This is a shorter episode. This is going to be a bit of our debrief from our visit to Stream Song. If you haven't got a chance to check it out on our YouTube channel and on our Twitter, we posted a nice little video summary of the resort and our experience there. So please go ahead and check that out. DJ Pihowski is a very talented man. We have a lot more to come podcast-wise, both this month and early in January, I do promise. Before we get started today, again, last reminder for making your Christmas wish list, PGA Tour Live, $39.99 a year. This is the time to order it. Order it right now, and you will get the full benefits of an entire year of PGA Tour Live. And again, you get $40 at teeoff.com of credit just for ordering it. So it pays for itself right there. And last warning, again, on the Callaway Golf gift guide. Just Google Callaway Golf gift guide. It's on their website, their holiday golf gift guide. $31.99, dozen chrome softs with free personalization. That's the best deal for golf balls you're going to find on the market. You could get Mac Daddy Forge custom wedges for $150. You could even customize your own version of the Epic driver. You can get your favorite NFL team, favorite college football team, any colors you want customized on your Epic driver. Totally worth it. So again, check that out at callawaygolf.com/giftguide. For now, let's get to our podcast.
Be the right club.
Be the right club today.
Yes! Johnny, that's better than most.
How about him?
That is better than most. Better than most!
Expect anything different?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the No Laying Up podcast. Solly here, sitting with DJ Pi. We got Tron, and we are going to debrief a bit on our short visit to Stream Song. How we doing?
Scream Song.
Really? Is that what we're going with?
How we doing?
I'm great.
Tronald?
I'm okay.
Are you battling back from sickness?
I'm back.
Tron, podcasting and sickness and
in
health?
I'm back.
That's great.
6 pounds lighter.
Yeah.
Takes coming in strong and as heavy as always.
I had some low tea over the weekend. I was watching those college football games, and I couldn't even tweet, man.
Pound for pound, now the strongest Take Smith in the game.
Just had my first meal in like 3 days.
Featherweight Take Smith.
Yeah, I'm back.
This is not going to be necessarily all encompassing of Stream Song. I know Tron and I have played Blue and Red a few years ago. We got our first look at the Black. We were down in Jupiter at a ad shoot. We crashed the Callaway ad shoot and did a little fun content with them. Recorded a couple podcasts, and then we were looking for somewhere to play on the way back. A bit last minute, but the folks at Stream Song were nice enough to get us a afternoon tea time on the Black, and we got a little preview of what.
Can we go back to Jupe?
Sure.
Shout out to the Woods Jupiter.
Yeah, shout out to the Woods Jupiter.
What did you give the rating on the Woods Jupiter?
I give it a 7.4. We waited way too long for our apps. Big Cat, get on that. We need to...
Stuck between chop, release chop. Patterns.
Yeah. Stuck between... between
it was way stuck between release
expediting patterns.
Yeah, I don't know if it really knew what it was trying to be.
It's a lot of things.
It's a lot of things to a lot
of swing
people.
Thoughts.
It's trying to be on. All things to yeah. all people.
We sat outside, which I felt like was maybe a mistake on our end.
Yeah.
JT recommended the mac and cheese, which was...
That was strong.
Strong.
That was
strong.
The
thing I remember the most.
My steak was cooked perfectly, a medium rare steak.
Wine list?
I didn't see the wine list. That was part of the problem.
That's on you.
Yeah, that's on me. The one thing I thought was a little bit weird at the end was the moist towel.
Well, that's the thing. It was like... You know, when he talked about it, it's billed as kind of this like sports bar, like come hang out, watch the game. And at the bar, you can totally do that. But then it was like, hey, you finish your meal. Here's a plate full of rolled up warm towels, like first class on an airplane. It was like,
I think that was really stupid.
I think it was Tiger's nod to his Asian heritage.
The Woods Jupiter is currently going through the 747 Swing Thought series. There's yeah, a lot. There's a lot going on.
The waiters were wearing white belts.
Like all of
like,
them.
Like really, I was triggered a little bit by that.
They're scripted. There's some scripting going on there.
Yeah, some bad Nike attire.
But overall, I thought we had a great time.
Yeah,
it was good.
Yeah.
I would go back. Go check it out. It's worth seeing.
Would return.
I
could probably go back 60 to 70 different times just to get a full taste of the menu.
There was a lot of players just kind of randomly hanging out.
Yeah.
I mean,
he had his VIP parking spot right up.
Yeah, he parked his Land Rover or whatever was right in front of the front door.
Yeah,
which is pretty boss move.
Yeah.
Wes Bryan was there chirping Tron a little bit.
Well, good stuff coming on that front.
Good stuff coming on that front.
Shout out to Wes for taking a punch.
Yeah.
Punched Tron in the face.
He did.
Hard.
You got
multiple
punched.
Times.
You got punched in the face. So yeah, we crashed that. We drove up to tough. It's not a stream song's pretty remote. It's like we're going to document that, but it's in the middle of nowhere on this unbelievably big piece of property.
We tried to get Solly and DJ to stop in Pahokee or Belglade on the way over from Jupe, do a little detour over where they chase the rabbits. Over there in the sugarcane fields, but I couldn't.
Just
couldn't,
no time.
Yeah, there was
enough
just not
time,
enough time for that.
It is, but it's remote, but it, you know, I think Tron was big on saying this. It's remote in a really pretty beautiful way. I mean, it's gorgeous, and maybe it was just we were driving through there during sunset, and the weather was good and everything, but it's kind of a gorgeous drive through there. I mean, there's nothing around.
It's an experience.
And it's these big fields, but there's giant palm trees in the middle of the fields. It's really weird. I love it.
Well, that was interesting. Like, we came in from the central part of the state, like Lake Okeechobee and all that. I'd come over from Tampa before, like Tampa, Sarasota, and then come up from the south before, but I'd never come that way. And it was a lot more kind of swampy, almost like African,
wildlife or just,
you know,
terrain,
wetlands. It was cool. So,
but I mean, like, remote is not necessarily a bad thing. I think it kind of
a good thing.
it brings a better golf crowd in, like golf specific crowd, and like Bandon is remote. Like, people are, this is like the East Coast version of Bandon or the Southeast.
Having been to both is more remote than Bandon.
Yeah,
I feel like. I mean, there's nothing around. If you're not eating at the resort, you're not eating.
Which is amazing that they can staff that place.
Yeah, for real. Well, that's what the caddy was talking about. I'm sure we'll get to all this, but you know, he's talking about where the other caddies live, and I mean, it's everybody lives an hour away.
Yeah,
at least.
I was pretty disappointed because last time I talked to the caddy, Big Country, about where.
Shout out, Big Country.
Yeah, shout out, Big Country. Where these guys live, and they were like, he was like, yeah, dude, we all live in like migrant farmer housing. And
really?
Yeah. And then this guy was like, no, everybody lives in like Tampa.
The other version's much better. Yeah, Let's go with that. So we get to stay at the hotel. What was your guys' kind of takeaway from the hotel experience?
Solid.
I mean, we gotta start with the hotelier.
Yeah.
I'd stay there prior. It's beds are comfortable. Yeah, both times it's been a really short stay for me. Like, just kind of check in, check out, like play golf the next morning.
There were a shitload of people there.
That was
it. Was packed.
The
a lot
people,
of people
watching was kind of, there was a big solar, like a solar energy company that had some sort of meeting going on, and they had some
a lot of white.
There
belts.
Was a lot of bro hugs going.
A lot
on.
Of white belts.
Bro hawks as well.
And then there was a big German group there as well at dinner. Very diverse set of individuals.
It's like peak season. We're here in November. It's kind of be like the peak season, and the tee sheets were jam packed and on three different courses. So I think that's kind of why they're going to keep building courses down there. They got something really awesome going on, and we'll get into that. But
I mean, the resort was cool. I don't stay at a ton of places that are kind of all encompassing like that. It always feels like when you're at a hotel, you know, obviously this is kind of a one of a kind sort of thing, but when you go to a hotel, typically, you know, you're only there to sleep. You're only, you know, you're checking in and then kind of getting in your car and driving somewhere else or walking somewhere else or whatever. And it is kind of cool to wake up and just know that you can go downstairs and grab coffee or breakfast or whatever kind of is all encompassed like that. I thought it was cool and fun to be at a place like that. It's weird that it is so remote. I mean, I could see you. It doesn't seem like the kind of place you go and stay for too long. I could see getting some island fever.
It's like pretty, The Shining.
Yeah, it's a little the Stanley
it's
the Hotel.
Modern version of The Shining.
Yeah, but it was nice. Slept great.
They got enough stuff
for you
to do
there. I don't know how you slept.
It was good enough. Yeah. Good enough. We're pretty exhausted. I mean, they got enough things to do there. I mean, we didn't fish. We didn't have time to fish, but we went and shot
some guns.
Sporting clays. It's my first time ever shooting a gun. A
couple sportsmen.
We do some sporting fellows shooting some sporting clays. And
shout out to Eric.
Shout out Eric. Showed us around and kind of we let us shoot for a while, and then he took the gun and kind of showed us how it was done.
I was glad he was on our side, or that guy would have been terrifying.
I do want to
like
talk
6'8" and could not miss.
He had like the gnarliest goatee,
just a harsh goatee.
Too.
That was really,
that guy all the respect.
He did add to the experience. That was that's kind of what I would say is, you know, none of us are a great shot by any means, and I think we both after or all three of us after you know 15, 20 minutes, we're all kind of like, all right, we kind of just want to watch you just shoot.
We hit some targets.
We did fine. Yeah. We were.
Well, it's like when we hit a target, it would be like a glancing blow. It would be like, right. It'd be like a drop kick, like 6 iron. And then it would be like a low piercing, tragedy stinger 2 iron.
But it was the parallels to golf were so like apparent. Like he's just trying to tell us, like, kind of just like, be athletic with it. Like just and that kind of the way you would teach golf to somebody that had no idea what they were doing. You want to just be like, it's pretty easy to do. Just do it. And he's trying to relay the message to us.
It was a little bit demoralizing when there was one station or one hole, I don't know what you call them, where like we were having trouble hitting one of the targets, and then he fired them both off at the same time, and he hit both of the clays with the same shot.
It's amazing.
Okay, cool.
Oh, okay, well, dude. Yeah, sweet.
All right, let's talk golf. I know you guys have both played the red and the blue before. I have not. I drove around whatever morning that was at sunrise and took a bunch of photos and saw all 36 holes. But
First of all, we might be the only two people on the planet who have played both courses, or you know, red and blue, and both of us preferred blue.
I
feel like your take on that is like, I feel like blue gets like crapped on a lot, but I don't feel like it does.
Universal
straw man argument.
Universally, there's so many people that are like blue's just so gimmicky. Like, I mean, Maginella, he was like, oh, the greens are crazy and all that. Like,
I thought the greens were crazier on red.
The greens on the black were
wild.
The wildest I've ever seen.
Yeah. And I loved it.
But it was awesome. Fair. Yeah, totally. Some of the red, I don't know. We both agreed. We played red and blue, 3 years? That was three and a half years ago. Like I need a kind of refresher on it and would need to see it again. But the red, when I played it, I shot 90, which didn't help. But I felt like the greens were, I was five putting. Like it was, I thought it was kind of ridiculous. And blue, I played much better, but it felt more fair. I don't know if that's one and the same or that's kind of what drove the influence there, but I just had more fond memories of the blue course, but it couldn't, again, that was pre-wokeness. So I may go back and maybe totally flipped, but if you're not totally prepared for StreamSong black greens, you might not like that part of it. Like you got to be prepared for that.
I think it was all, you know, we're talking to some of the guys in the shop inside after, and I mean, it's so a matter of perspective. If you go in and yeah, like you said, if you go in and you're thinking, oh my God, this is going to be so fun around the greens. I can't wait to see all these weird ass positions I get put in. It's going to be so fun. Yeah. And if you go in not knowing that and you're,
yeah, like, it's all expectations.
Like who Tron degreed himself on the first hole.
And I loved it. Which was awesome. Like my goal for the
we're all like cheering. It was so fun.
Yeah. Whereas some people would be like, this is bullshit.
Yeah. So yeah, if you can appreciate it. I thought it was
only one of us has not put it off the green this week, by the way. Solly put it into the water the other day.
It was a tough pitch. It was a tough pitch. It was downwind, downgrade, number two. It was a front pin, downwind, downgrade from like 50 feet.
It was sick.
DJ was against us in Wolf and got way too excited about it.
Like I was cheery all the way.
Yes. Yes!
That's going to be like four dots each way.
Sorry, it rattled me.
I didn't mean to derail the conversation.
Oh, I birdied I thought I was going to shoot 68, and then I just put it in the water.
That's like a goose. Like a maverick and goose.
But yeah, so Tron degreened himself. So I from tee to green, the golf course, I thought was
nobody wants to talk feasible. About my 4 iron in there.
It's a great shot.
It was a great shot.
It's a great six.
It's a good six.
And then Greg Parman came out.
Greg Parman. Yeah, we played with Greg Parman. He was very steady all day. But I feel like tee to green, the course overall is very doable. Like it's not, for like a lower handicap player, it's pretty achievable. The challenge all lies within the greens and the strategy.
Well, one's a 550-ish yard par five. And it's, it's wide open. I mean, fairway is what, 100 and... Means it's like 100 yards wide.
100 yards wide, yeah.
And then there's a great cross bunker, really well placed, but it's more visually intimidating than anything. And then my biggest thing was just the greens, the original green sizes versus how they decided to grow them in.
Yeah.
They're like three times as big as they were originally.
Oh, for sure. Biggest greens I've ever seen.
Yeah, so we'll get to that in a second. But I want to kind of tie in a couple of these points together. You guys have played all three. How do they compare? What do you... You know, what's different about the black versus
just
the other
scale.
Two? Yeah.
It's just larger scale. I felt like this was like a mural versus you know, like a little portrait or something. Like the other ones feel like they're, you know, there's much more, like over on Red and Blue, you've got the kind of the sand, the big mounding, and there's some kind of corridors kind of carved into, whereas this was just, you almost feel like you're on this giant mural on like this, the side of the plains. Like it's kind of what I envision. I've never been out to Sand Hills or anywhere like that, but like it's kind of what I envision that being.
It looks, I mean, it's all of the, when you miss the fairway, you're just in this native waste area stuff, but it reminded me a lot of Pinehurst too, in that wide fairways, encouraging to hit it in the fairway, but if you hit it in the waste area, you're not dead. Like it's very playable in that regard.
It's like Pinehurst too, if you take away all trees. The trees.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah. And it's from like an overhead shot. When I first started looking at shots of like it's fairway and it's bunker, I was like, whoa, this is going to be tight and tough. It's not like that at all. You can swing away. Even if DJ it was a 320-yard drivable par 4, and DJ went Moab with an 80-yard mother of all bunts on an 80-yard fairway. He got some grief on Instagram for that one. But
I hit it exactly where I was trying to hit it.
But yeah, I mean, it is totally different. Totally different than Blue and Red, I think. I mean, it's I don't know exactly. Blue and Red feel more similar to each other than they do to Black in any way. So,
well, they're kind of, I mean, they're not having played them, but just driven around. They're kind of woven together. They're close together. So obviously the land feels very similar because it is. And Black is isolated.
The wild thing is, you're out
at a different finger of the property over there.
But the wild thing is, you can, like, from Red, you can see over to Black. You're only a couple hundred yards away from kind of the farthest reaches of the Red course. And you feel like you're, you know, 100 miles away.
Right.
It's crazy.
Yeah. And the other thing that, I mean, I'm sure this is kind of a cliche that people talk about, but if you've never been there, it does not feel like you're in Florida at all. Yeah. Like, I don't know what it feels like. I mean, it feels like...
Because I do think that's the one unfair thing about when people compare it to Bandon, where you're like, yeah, but, I mean, Bandon has... It's got an ocean.
Right.
Right? Like, it's tough to compete with an ocean. Yeah. Whereas this was, you know, this is inland Florida. Like, again, expectations.
Yeah, right? But it's... I mean,
it's the golf is,
it's phenomenal. The golf is, I mean, where else can you go and play a Doak, a Core Crenshaw, and a Gilhands course on, like, from seeing each other, the courses. Yeah. I mean, I know that we got to go all the way to Tasmania to play a Doak, Core Crenshaw dual set of courses. Like, this is right here in Florida. It's accessible, and it's for golf nuts. I mean, I thought like the vibe and the accommodations and stuff, like, isn't like the most, you know, tuned in to the golf nut, like for our group, but the golf itself is absolutely phenomenal.
I think it has to be more things. Right? Yes. Like, it has to be more things to more people.
Correct.
Right. Because they have to do more group business.
Yes.
They have to do, you know, they have to be able to stage meetings and all that. Like just as far as the business plan goes.
Right.
And it's just it's tougher to staff.
Yeah.
I mean,
for
you're
sure.
In the middle of, you know, just thinking about it. Like I've had two friends from, you know, previous hotels I've been at, two friends that have gone down and worked down there, and they've, you know, I've talked to them about it just from a personal perspective, how tough it is to staff that. Yeah. So, on my first visit versus this one, I felt like the service and kind of the cohesiveness of the whole experience was much more tied in. Like when you showed up, they just sent your bag right over to the Black course. So, really the biggest thing for me was just, Our caddy, he said, "Hey, look out for these little green dots around around the greens."
Which we need to tweet. Like, we need to find one of the good drone photos that we got that can really
illustrate
this.
So it kind of shows you where the original green surrounds were supposed to be.
Well, you have like the capped sprinklers and kind of drain caps and stuff.
They're wrong.
Yeah, which anyone can picture, you know, on the fringe of every green that exists. And at this place, they're all 30 feet or more towards the middle of the green. And he was explaining, he's like, well, you know, when they were originally designed the golf course, this is where they had charted the greens to be. And then Gil and his buddies came out and were just kind of like, fuck it, let's just make this all green. And it's so cool. I mean, some of the spots you could play out there, and this is kind of another point, but you could play out there 100 times. And on the 100th time, find some weird spot you didn't even know existed to be putting from.
There were certain parts on the greens where the difference between where the initial green was planned to be and where the edge of that green ended up being on one side of the green was like 30 yards.
Yeah, it was nuts.
I forget what's the
big par five,
the four with the deep AF. bunker?
The 1-4 that I think the number 8 or so had like the big, it was the biggest green on the property. I've never seen
The par 3.
No, the par.
Oh, no, the next one, the par 4. Yeah, 8.
Had the biggest green.
Right.
And, but I mean, just kind of going into that number 6, was that the drivable par 4, Tron?
Yes. Yeah. 6 was one of the better holes I've played this year.
It was amazing. And it's like it got one bunker that defines the entire hole. As far as accessibility to the pin, at least
it's like one of those Pete Dye bunkers.
Yeah, it's tiny.
It's like,
but it funnels
six,
to it.
Well, it looks like it's 60 feet across, and that's what he's saying is you get down in that bunker and it's about the size of a trash can lid. You know,
and then the green. You know, I think like the usable portion of the green is probably 10 feet deep, and about 50 feet wide. Probably 100 feet wide.
100 feet. Yeah. It's like three different greens, basically.
And
that all change what you're supposed to do.
The strategy
tee.
Is just
so cool.
Mind blowing.
I drove the green, no big deal. And I had a 15 footer to 3-putt par. Like it was, but it's mad. I mean, I wouldn't have played any differently, but like you're just kind of like the way you have to play like a road hole. So you have to hit a putt that doesn't aim towards the hole, because if you try to get at the hole, like from where I was from, I'm probably going 50 feet past it. But if I played 15 feet left of the hole, I could use a certain backstop to bring it to rest, maybe 20 feet away for birdie, but then I'm putting straight down the hill. I mean, that part was so much fun to try to piece the puzzles together.
And that's kind of the thing I was going to say earlier, which is there were a lot of holes where we got done and putted out or whatever, and kind of looking back, scratching our head, saying like, man, I think I might play that one differently next time or something. And the golf course feels like something you got to play 10 times before you're really comfortable, which is kind of a weird, juxtaposition because it's kind of a once in a lifetime sort of resort trip. So
right.
I don't know if that's good or bad. I don't really know what to think about
like
that, but
scoring,
it's
scoring. I think
for
though.
Sure.
I mean, the fun, like from tee to green fun.
Oh,
we
so
talked
fun.
About,
like I was uncomfortable the whole
time,
I
was like,
just trying to figure out, like with too many options, trying to figure out what to do. It was just, it was
not
great.
Only on 6, like I felt like, all right, I need to play this hole 3 or 4 times just to get a feel for this pin location.
Yeah,
and then
right,
if they move
exactly.
the pin, then I gotta play it another
50 different pins possible for every hole. But we all talked about too how, again, the course was only 5 weeks old when we played it. The
Which
turf in the fairway,
phenomenal shape for
the
being 5 weeks
old. The turf was like the best.
Yeah.
Turf I've ever compressed an iron against. So some
the
of those courses can get really firm, and it's tough to kind of hit a ball solidly off of it. I felt like I couldn't miss hit a ball off that fairway turf.
The other thing I loved was just the amount of undulation in the fairways, but not in a Mickey Mouse way.
No, like not at all. It just felt
you weren't getting
natural.
Crazy bounces, but at the end of the day, you're going to get enough good bounces, enough bad bounces.
Can
we talk about the punch bowl?
Well, that was going to be the only thing I was going to say is there was almost too much scale on some of the spots.
Yeah.
Like the punch bowl to me felt like it was way too big. Like you hit
it
a great,
it was close.
Kind
you
of
hit
defeated
a great
the
shot.
Purpose.
Yeah,
of
you
punch
hit a great
bowl.
Shot in there, and it was, you know, it was 100 feet each way from any slope.
Yeah,
you know what
it's,
I mean?
It's like sandwich in. But.
It wasn't so much a punch bowl as it was like when you go to a college party and it's one of those like big Tupperware, like giant Tupperware bins that you just mix a bunch of.
Yeah.
You know,
motion potion.
Yeah, like it was more like that than it was. I mean, it was like a trash can.
We got a lot of stuff, a lot of footage that's going to come out from that hole. But,
the other thing, number 4, was not push cart friendly.
That is
that was
very
an awesome
accurate.
Hole, though.
It's a cool hole.
Even though you got ejected,
I hit a bad. Well, so that's kind of the. I mean, that's an outlier because I hit such a bad shot there, but. Every time, you know, Solly mentioned it being fair, it's a wild golf course where you feel like you're playing on the moon in certain spots. But if you miss in the wrong spot, you're like, yep, I missed. Like, I deserved what I got there.
Yeah.
It was never, none of us hit a shot where we're
this is unfair.
Pissed off and saying, well, how did that happen?
Right.
It was, everything's pretty in front of you. And I mean, it was just a great time.
That par 5, the 4th, has like a double fairway. And, I mean, it was super cool. Even the layup comes with a myriad of options. Like, do you want to take on trying to carry it over to the left fairway, or do you play down the right?
My problem with double fairways sometimes is there's it often feels like there's just a clear option, and the other one just feels ancillary.
Right.
Like the one at Valhalla. Mm-hmm. It was at 14 or 15, kind of down the stretch. There's no reason to go down that left fairway for the most part. Whereas this one, they were both extremely viable, provided you had the distance on your drive, or you could use it as you see fit on the second shot. Like, There was probably 9 different distinct ways to play that hole.
Right.
Yeah, but then we had to take the trolleys like on the stairs. So yeah, it wasn't the best push car course, but
we persevered.
Yeah, we did. Okay. We survived.
And then the next hole was just
number 5 was one of the coolest ones we played.
Reverse Redan, kind of uphill, just
on the side of a cliff.
On the side of a cliff. I thought I had a great shot. Like had it roll back 30 feet, and the guy's like, "No, you're on the green, man. It's cool. Like you're 200 feet away, but you're putting."
I was gonna say, I think I hit like 8 of 9 greens on the front 9, but probably had an aggregate distance.
I was going to say, it might not be a good thing necessarily.
Yeah, greens are kind of irrelevant.
Such a good mix of, there weren't, a couple long par fours, but some really nice short fours that just presented you with a myriad of options.
And the long fours had massive greens.
Yeah.
And they do such a good job, I thought, of kind of using like deception mounding and stuff. I forget. I think number 8 you mentioned was one where, he kept saying, "Hey, this is the biggest green on the golf course. It's the biggest green on the golf course." And you're looking at it and I'm thinking to myself, dude, this pin is perched right over this hill. Like how the hell am I supposed to get this close? And you hit it over and, you walk around the mound and you're like, "Oh, okay, actually it's 100 feet behind the pin. I had so much space." He just does a great job of, it's kind of Pete Dye style in that way, I think, where, it always looks, everything looks a lot worse than it actually is. It was kind of like Pete Dye in that way, and kind of little dokey kind of around the greens.
Pete Dye and the fact that fun. You feel like you can hit every shot.
Yeah,
it kind of goads you into going for everything. Sure. The green on 7, like 7 was a shorter par 3. That green was super cool. It was like these fingers kind of coming out all over. With
so many different
bunkers.
Pins on that green. It was so much fun. Like that was our biggest takeaway too, is that, it looked way harder. It looks like harder than it is, but just tee to green, it was so much fun. Then once you got on the greens, trying to use those slopes to your benefit was a thrill. I mean, there's no slope that's there by accident.
It was really cool too that, again, I haven't played the other two, but just driving around them and kind of seeing how they play. It's just cool to see land that's that expansive and just what 3 or I guess 4 different people do with it and what they choose to do with it. And there's so much more land there. And, we kind of heard some rumblings from some people around who were kind of saying, throwing out some pretty big names for some potential future courses.
Meow.
we'll see what happens. But, there's no shortage of real estate out there for them to keep adding and adding and adding. And I think, we both, or all 3 of us kind of said that too, that, as they do that and they keep getting better at different stuff, the resort's going to get better, the hotel's going to get better, the restaurants are going to get better, all that stuff. They just, for what it is and where it is right now, it's pretty
this
cool.
One felt more like playing over in the British Isles than the other two, for sure.
It's more about creativity.
Yeah. What's like the thing that you got, your biggest takeaway from it? Like the thing you guys enjoyed the most?
I loved, we went back and shot some stuff on number 2 when it got dark, and it was just this absolute like kill or be killed short 4 with this fall away green. And I loved just sitting back there and like trying to hit different wedge shots and like trying to get different shots to stop on the green and trying to not get ejected, but get as close as you can to getting ejected. I mean, it was so fun. It felt like you were out there just messing around, like having chipping contests when you were a little kid. It was just so fun. I loved I guess short answer is like the creativity options around the greens. Yeah. Yeah, it was so fun.
I was blown away just at how good a shape the greens were in already.
Yeah.
Like they weren't, normally you get that kind of that trampoline effect off of new Bermuda greens, especially. And those were,
it was firm and fast.
It was firm, but like
though,
you could hit, you could hit a, three-quarter swing sand wedge in, and you would take one hop and then stop and check a little bit, which is so rare on new greens.
I was just, and I feel like this course is all the things that we always talk about with, with the things in modern design that we enjoy, being like the width, the wideness of fairways, and how that helps you kind of create angles at flags, all the different options that big greens have for different pins. You're going to feel like you're playing a different hole every time. And the contours of the greens presenting, again, with all these options around the greens. I felt like it was just a myriad of all of these things about golf architecture that we love. And then it's fun to do all that stuff. So, I mean, for me, the approach shots were just honestly just thrilling. I mean, they were so much fun to try to, like that reverse Rodin par 3, to try to use that slope to get to that pin. And, you know, the way the greens sit, kind of promoting, clearly trying to promote a certain shot shape into it, which might have been different than the shot shape you needed to play off the tee. Like the 11th hole was kind of a longer par 4, but just the green kind of sits perfectly, like a right perfect setup for a nice little draw in there. And again, trying to compress the irons off that turf, it was honestly so much fun. I felt like an artist.
We got a little unlucky with the daylight savings time.
Not prime time.
Didn't quite get to finish. We had a few holes left, so, which I don't know, actually kind of leads me to be just really excited about going back.
Yeah, we got to go back. We have to go back. I mean,
it's like eminently a second shot golf course.
Yes,
definitely. You just get it out there off the tee, and then kind of game plan from there. And you know, obviously there's a more advantageous side of the fairway to be on, but other than a few places where you just absolutely can't miss and have to almost play away from if you're not as strong of a player, I think it was probably the most fair of all three Stream Song courses, I think, minus the, you know, as long as you're comfortable playing the ball off the ground.
Yep.
Or on the ground.
Yeah. I'm excited to go back. I mean, I think I'd love to play all three of them, kind of get, you know, reweave in those other three and kind of see where they all stack up. But I think I'd love to give Red another shot, especially just because I didn't love it the first time. But that might be more on me than the golf course.
I feel like for me, Red had some of the best holes on the property.
Yeah.
It just didn't feel as cohesive.
Yeah. I could see that.
So I really want to do a composite routing of blue and red.
That'd be sweet.
That'd be awesome. Can we talk about the Bone Zone?
The Bone Zone. The
Ken Bone Zone.
The Ken Bone Zone Tavern.
The Bone Valley Tavern.
I know we're not big on kind of talking about clubhouses. I know that's not really our scene, but the clubhouse at the Black was pretty dope.
It's all windows, just kinda, a 360 view.
It
kind of
looked a little like a Museum of Modern Art or something.
It was a little Mies van der Rohe.
It kind of was, but which usually I'm like, ugh, that's awful. But it was still small. Like, it was small enough that it wasn't gaudy.
It was really well done.
It was really cool. And it backs right up to the putting course. I forget what the gauntlet, I think they called it.
Yeah, 18-hole putting course there.
Yeah.
Drink stands.
Me and Tron got executed
on
the gauntlet.
Yeah, that was ugly.
It was interesting. I feel like the menu and the whole kind of concept of the Black is like minimalism.
Yeah.
Where you get, you know, the menu was really not sparse, but very focused.
Which is weird because it's on about 400 acres.
Exactly. So it's very different from the rest of the resort in that regard, where I feel like you've got different options at the rest of the resort. The Black was more, it seemed more focused.
It felt a lot more Bandon-y to me than the rest of it. The rest of it, you know, I think you were saying something kind of about, I don't really know how it works, how, you know, each part of the property gets managed or whatever, but if a different company manages that hotel versus kind of the food and beverage at the Black or something, but it did have a different vibe to it, a better vibe, I thought.
Yeah. Yeah. It seemed more in line with the golf, you know, golf being first and foremost and then
just
streamlined operation too over there. No excess BS.
Plus, with the references we've heard, again, none of us have played golf in Australia on the Sand Belt, but with the references we kept hearing were that it compares greatly with a lot of the best courses on the Sand Belt as far as the style of play, the style of turf, and whatnot. So,
I mean, that was naturally why we chose to go play.
Of course. Yeah, we'll try to work. We'll have a better comparison for that here in a couple weeks. Yeah. Actually, it's coming up fast. So.
Well, cool.
All right. Thanks to everyone at Stream Song for having us out. That was a lot of fun. Can't wait to come back and, like I said, kind of compare all three courses. I think we're definitely not blowing smoke when we say it's something pretty special going on there, especially for everyone, for kind of the luxury vacationer as well as the golf nut that really is into golf course architecture. So, call it a day.
Wrap it.
Let's do it.
All right, boys. Thanks for tuning in.
Be the right club. Be the right club today.
Yes! Johnny, that's better than most.
How about him?
That is better than most. Better than most!